So we are continuing our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 4. And today's verse is verse number 42. And this chapter is entitled The Atrocities of King Kamsa. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are learning who to follow and who not to follow. What are the good qualities? What are the bad qualities? What to accept and what to reject? King Kamsa is the example of what to reject, what we don't want to get involved in. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayo Mudirayet Nashtapraye Svabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum langhayate girim Yatripatamaham bande Sri Guru Dinotarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanang pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sa
hi
Sarva
Surajaksho
Hi Asura Dvid Guha Shaya Tan Mula Devata Sarva Seshvara Sachaturmukha Ayam Vai Tadvajopayo Yad Rishinam Vihimshanam Sahi Sarva Surajaksho Yasuradvid Guhashaya Tanmula Devata Sarva Sheshvara Satchatur Mukha Ayam Vaitad Vajopayo Yadrishinam Vihishanam
Sa, he,
Lord Vishnu,
he
indeed,
Sarvasura Adyaksha,
the leader of all the demigods,
he
indeed,
Asura Dvit,
the enemy of the Asuras. Guhyashaya, he is the super soul within the core of everyone's heart. Tatmula, taking shelter at his lotus feet. Devata, the demigods exist. Sarva, all of them.
Sa
Ishvara,
including Lord Shiva.
Sa Chatumukha,
as well as Lord Brahma,
who has four faces.
I am.
This is.
Vai.
Indeed.
Tadvada Upaya.
The only means of killing him.
The only means of killing him.
Vishnu.
Vishnu.
Yat.
Which.
Rishinam.
Of great sages.
Saintly persons.
Or Vaishnavas.
Vihimshanam.
Vihimshana.
Suppression with all kinds of persecution. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Vishnu, the Super Soul within the core of everyone's heart, is the ultimate enemy of the Asuras and is therefore known as Asura Dvit. He is the leader of all the demigods because all the demigods, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, exist under his protection. The great saintly persons, sages, and Vaishnavas also depend upon him. To persecute the Vaishnavas, therefore, is the only way to kill Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The demigods and the Vaishnavas especially are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord Vishnu because they are always obedient in his orders. Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Suraya. The demoniac followers of Kamsa thought that if the Vaishnavas, saintly persons and sages were persecuted, the original body of Vishnu would naturally be destroyed. Thus, they decided to suppress Vaishnavism. The Asuras perpetually struggle to persecute the Vaishnavas because they do not want Vaishnavism to spread. Vaishnavas preach only devotional service, not encouraging karmis, jnanis, and yogis, because if one must liberate oneself from material conditioned life, one must ultimately become a Vaishnava. Our Krishna consciousness movement is directed with this understanding, and therefore the Asuras always try to suppress it. So the first and important point here in this shloka, which Prabhupada emphasizes in the purport, is that the demigods, the suras, and the Vaishnavas are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? because they are always obedient to his instructions. They always follow the instructions of the Supreme Lord. They're always following his guidance, accepting his guidance and taking shelter of him. So that's the Vaishnavas. Now the demons, the Asuras, they do not like this mentality of being subordinate to someone else. They want to be independent. So to see people being subordinate to Lord Vishnu, meaning that Lord Vishnu is considered by the Vaishnavas and Rishis to be supreme, they don't like that. They want to be supreme. So this is the quality of envy. And the quality of envy goes so deep that it causes all kinds of sinful thoughts, sinful actions, which result in sinful reactions, obviously. But they don't think in terms of that. The demons never think in terms of what will be the reaction for my sinful activity, acting out of envy. So in this way, they are delusioned. They are not clear thinking. The envy causes them to be covered. So Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, he gives a nice explanation for this in verse 15:15. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. So Prabhupada mentions here that Lord Vishnu resides in the core of everyone's heart. So Krishna is emphasizing this. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto. I am situated in everyone's heart. So what does that mean? It means that from the heart, Krishna is controlling things of the living entity. He's controlling the living entity indirectly. Mata, from me, Krishna says, Mata smritir gyanam, from me comes knowledge and remembrance. Apohanam cha, and forgetfulness. So there's three shaktis that Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, who is the expansion of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, he has three shaktis, the Gyan Shakti, the Smriti Shakti, and the Apohan Shakti. So the Smriti Shakti and the Gyan Shakti, well, the Smriti Shakti mainly is for the Vaishnavas. He gives us that Smriti Shakti to remembrance so that we can remember who we are, so we can remember what is our position. Who are we? We are the devotees of the Lord. What is our position? Das, 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 anudas. If we're in that mentality, it means that we've been getting the Smriti Shakti of Vishnu. And if we don't have that mentality, then we're not getting the Smriti Shakti of Vishnu. Then we're getting the Apohan Shakti, the covering or forgetful Shakti. Now, if we're not in our constitutional position, which is das, 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 anudas, and a servitor of the Lord, always part and parcel of the Lord, because Vaishnavas are always obedient to the Lord. If we're not in that constitutional position, then there's a Sanskrit word that describes the situation of living entities who are not in their constitutional position. And that word is maya. Illusion. You're either in reality, your constitutional position, or you're in illusion. Maya. For those people, how do they... They're all Nitya Krishna Das. They're all spiritual souls. So how did they come into illusion? Because Krishna, from within their heart, gave them the Apohan Shakti. He covered them so they would not remember who they are. Now, this is not what Krishna wants. Krishna doesn't want to cover everybody. He doesn't want them to be an illusion. For example, in Shloka 10:10, he says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mama upayanti te. That he wants to give the buddhi yoga, the intelligence of devotional service. Yena mam upayantite, so they can come to me. He wants everyone to come to him. He wants everyone to return back home, back to Godhead. But if someone does not want to return back home, back to Godhead, if someone is envious, then Krishna does not impose his will upon them. Okay, you don't want? Fair enough. So then he covers them with the apohan shakti so they will forget that they are the eternal servitor of the Lord. And from that covering, the apohan shakti, comes the enviousness. It increases more and more. Of course, there's the original enviousness where we don't want to accept that someone else is superior and I'm subordinate. And this is the quality of the demoniac mentality. They don't want to be subordinate to someone else. They don't want to give honor and respect and service to someone else. They want to receive that honor and receive that respect and service from others. That is the difference between the sura and the asura. So, understanding this, we can judge what is our own mentality. Do we have the sura mentality or the asura mentality? And if we have a sura mentality, it means we're getting the smriti shakti from Krishna. He's giving us that remembrance who we are, so we can act accordingly as das, 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 anvitas. And if we're not in that mood of servant, of the servant, of the servant, of everybody, even Prabhupada was a servant of the servant of the servant of everybody. He was the perfect example of das, 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 anudas, even though he was the leader. Simultaneously, he was the leader, but he was the most humble. This is the Uttama Adhikari. But the asuras, they don't like this. They want to be in the position of the leader, like Kamsa. And the atrocities of King Kamsa, this verse is called the atrocities of King Kamsa. He committed so many atrocities simply out of envy. He could not accept that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was superior to him and that he would actually be killed by the Supreme Lord. No, I shall kill him. He shall not kill me. That is the mood of the demon. So that apohan shakti covers them so that they would forget that they're the servant of the Lord, and now they can act in any way that they like. So that's the smriti shakti and the apohan shakti. But there's a third shakti, the gyan shakti, that comes from Krishna, from within the heart. So for the Vaishnavas, for the suras, the gyan shakti, Krishna gives us that knowledge, that understanding, that intelligence, that we can become more and more das, 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 anudas. We get all the philosophical background and grounding so we can understand our position and act accordingly. But for the asuras, who are covered by the apohan shakti, Krishna also gives them gyan shakti. But that jnana is to further their demoniac activities. Like, for example, Prabhupada always used to give the example of the scientists. They're coming up with so many reasons why God doesn't exist. So many reasons why, so much knowledge and understanding of why there's no Supreme Personality of Godhead, why we're independent, why there's no birth after death, there's only one life. They're also getting that gyan shakti, but it's misused. It's actually agyan, ignorance. But they're accepting it as knowledge. So Krishna is giving the gyan shakti, but there's the positive gyan shakti, which is reality, and then there's the negative gyan shakti, which is illusion. And the thing about the quality of the demons is they accept the illusion as the reality. They don't see it as a delusion, as we do. They see it as reality. And they see that our reality is a delusion. They think that we're deluded, and we think they're deluded. And Prabhupada, therefore, in very early days in New York, he wrote a very nice article, Who's Crazy? We're thinking they're crazy, and they're thinking we're crazy. The two sides, the Asura side and the Sura side, the Vaishnavas and the Avaishnavas, they don't see eye to eye. And this is a situation. And this situation has existed since time immemorial. Here we have an example from 5,000 years ago, and it's not much different from what is going on in the world today. In the world today, the global elite are trying to take over the world and turn everybody into slaves, serfs, to serve them. Just as Kamsa was doing 5,000 years ago, and Ravan was trying to do millions of years ago, and Hiranyakashipu, all the demons are always trying to behave in such a way that even we see in the example of Hiranyakashipu that they'll even try to kill their own children. Can you imagine? Hiranyakashipu was so demoniac, so envious, that his own beloved child, when he saw that he was not going to become an Asura, but was going to become a Vaishnava, he could not tolerate that. And he tried to change his mind, but he could not change his mind. He could not change his mentality. Therefore, he tried to kill him in so many ways. But Krishna always protects the devotees. As Prabhupada mentions here, that the Vaishnavas, they're always obedient to the Lord, and the Lord protects the saintly devotees. So we see how Krishna protected Prahlad Maharaj in so many ways. Just like, for example, we have the Navavidhi Bhakti, and we have the different qualities of devotional service. So Prahlad Maharaj, he is the perfect example of always smaranam, always remembering the Supreme Lord. He never forgot him for an instant. So for example, one of the 10 ways that Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad was he was taken up to the top of a huge mountain and thrown off. And as he's falling faster and faster, and the earth is coming up quicker and quicker, at any moment he's going to hit the earth and splat, die. But Prahlad Maharaj is not at all in anxiety. He's just thinking, oh, Krishna's going to save me at the last second. There's no doubt. Asamshaya. There's no doubt whatsoever. And then the last second, Krishna catches him, saves him. So this is a perfect example of Smriti Shakti of the Vaishnava. He always remembers the Lord, never forgets the Lord. And Rupa Goswami, he gives the 6 principles of surrender. So the first principle of surrender is to always remember the Lord. The second principle of surrender is to never forget the Lord. And the third principle of surrender is to always be confident that the mercy of the Lord will be there for me. So Prahlad Maharaj was fully confident that the mercy of the Lord would always be there for him. Now I'll share with you, when I came across this, when I was studying, and Rupa Goswami, I was, you know, speaking about the 6 symptoms of surrender. And the third one was to always be confident that the mercy of the Lord will be there for you. And I was thinking, well, that's okay for you to say, Rupa Goswami, but how can I be confident? How can I have confidence that the mercy of the Lord will always be there for me? I know my mind. I know my past activities. I know I've had millions of births and I'm suffering the karmic reactions of them. How can I honestly be confident that I'm going to get Krishna's mercy? And that was a dilemma. I was thinking about that. I would like to be confident, but in reality, can I be confident? Would I just be puffed up thinking, yes, I'm getting Krishna's mercy? I wanted to know what is the reality of this understanding of Rupa Goswami. So I was meditating on it deeply. And we all know, Krishna explains, that he fulfills the desire of every living entity, right? Everybody knows this. So when you want to know something, you let Krishna know that this is your desire to know by meditating on it and contemplating it. So I was contemplating it. How can I be confident of Krishna, that I'm going to get Krishna's mercy? And then from within, Krishna gives us realizations. Every realization we have comes from the Supreme Lord. Mata smritya jnanam. It all comes from the Lord. So I was directed to Shloka 1866 in the Gita. Sarva dharma paritya ja mam ekam sharanam vraja ahang tvam sarva papebhyo moksha isyami ma suchaha. So ma suchaha means don't worry. Don't be in lamentation. When Arjuna was lamenting, he was worried about fighting in this war, that he had to kill his kinsmen, and that he would get a karmic reaction. So in the beginning, Krishna's dealing with his socham, his lamentation, and his final instruction, he says, Masuchaha, don't worry. In other words, don't be concerned. So that means don't have any doubt. We're only worried or overly concerned about something when we have doubts. When we're confident, then we're not worried. So when Krishna says Masuchaha, don't have any doubts, what he really means is trust me. If I say to you, don't have any doubt about what I'm saying, it means trust me what I'm saying to you. So then I realized that Krishna's saying, trust me, don't have any doubt, don't worry, and that my whole problem was that I didn't trust Krishna. The whole problem of the living entities is we don't trust Krishna. We do have doubts. Arjuna had doubts. Arjuna said to Krishna, slay these demons of doubts, O Madhusudan. Arjuna realized that he had these doubts, and he realized that these doubts were demons, and that he couldn't carry on his duty because of these demons of doubts. So he requested Krishna, please, you kill these demons of doubts, because you kill the demons. So the doubts in our mind, they're also demons, just like the followers of Kamsa. So then I realized that as long as we don't have any doubts and we trust Krishna, because Krishna says, Sarva dharma paritya ja mam ekam sharanam vraja ahang tvam sarva papebhyo moksha isyami. I'm going to take away all your sinful reactions. You're going to go back home, back to Godhead. Don't have any doubt. Trust me. Then I realized why Rupa Goswami said, always be confident that the mercy of the Lord will be there for you, because we have to trust the Lord. We have to have that faith. We have to have that trust. There should be no doubt. And then I realized further that being confident of getting the mercy of the Lord is not based on qualification. It's based on trust, based on Shraddha. Shraddha means faith, but it also means trust. In the deeper sense, it means trust. We have faith. We trust Krishna. And there's two kinds of faith, or two kinds of trust. There's the blind faith, which is andhavishwas, and then there's Shraddha. What is the difference? Blind faith means I trust in something, although I don't have any basis for that trust. I don't have any understanding or any experience or any knowledge, but I just trust. So in the beginning, when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we have some blind faith that Krishna is God. We don't have any real understanding, not in the very beginning when we first come. We're looking for God, and we read Prabhupada's books, Krishna is God. Okay, let me just follow this and see what happens. Take up this process and see what happens. So we come with andhavishwas. But as we follow the process of chanting Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Gatiranyata, we attain the goal and we develop into Shraddha. That faith, that trust becomes Shraddha because now we're experiencing that faith. We see the hand of God in our life. We have the Gyan Shakti coming from Krishna from within the heart, from within the association of Vaishnavas, from the Shastra, from Guru. And so now that trust and that faith is based on understanding, it's based on experience. And so this is Shraddha. So when we have that Shraddha, that trust in the Lord, then we can be fully confident that the mercy will be there for us because Krishna says it will be there for you. Why should I doubt it? If Krishna says I'll always protect you, why should I have doubt about that? Well, if I have andhavishwas, blind faith, then the doubt would be there. But once I get the real Shraddha, based on the purification of the heart through chanting of the holy names and following the process of bhakti yoga as given by the acharyas, then there's no room for doubt anymore. And so therefore, we can be fully confident that the mercy of the Lord will be there for us because we have faith and trust in the word of the Lord, faith and trust in the word of the acharyas, faith and trust in the teachings of Shastra. So it's not based on qualification that I can feel secure and confident to get the mercy, because who is qualified? Who can say, I am qualified, now I'm confident to get the mercy of the Lord? No one is qualified. No one will ever be qualified. We're all sadhakas. Das, 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 anudas. We are the anudas. Because das, das, das is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada. They are the pure servants of the Lord. We're the anudas. We're the followers. We're the apprentices. We're trying to come to that platform of das, because das, to be the servant of the Lord, is the highest state of existence for a living entity. You can only come to that platform when you're 100% pure, with 100% trust and conviction and dedication in the service of the Lord. Then we come to the position of das. So we're anudas. So anu is two meanings. Anu is short for anusharan, which means following in the footsteps. So we're the apprentice. We're following in the footsteps of the acharyas. And anu also means microscopic. The demons, like Kamsa and his followers, they're puffed up. They're thinking they're so big and so important. But actually they're microscopic. They're tiny. They're insignificant. And another thing that I used to wonder about, for example, I'll give the example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Sometimes he says that he's like a dog, or sometimes a worm in stool. So why would such a great saint as Bhaktivinoda Thakur see himself in such a way that we don't want to see ourselves in that way? And again, I wanted to understand this. Why is Bhaktivinoda Thakur referring to himself in such a way? So I go, I meditate on it, I contemplate, I go deep inside, think about it, let Krishna know this is my desire. And then Krishna fulfills our desire. And the realization I got was that because Bhaktivinod Thakur had actually seen Krishna face to face, therefore he realized, actually, I'm microscopic. I'm just like a dog compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had that realization. So he's not just falsely humble like we are. Like I, you know, sometimes we hear someone say, oh, I'm lower than a worm in stool. But that's not realization. That's just false humility. In other words, what the real humility is, because we've had direct experience, direct vision. The Lord has directly revealed to us the truth. Therefore, we're truly humble. But when we falsely say, I'm lower than a worm in stool, it's just negative false ego. There's positive false ego, I'm the greatest of all time, no one's better than me, no one's more powerful than me. Or negative false ego, I'm the worst, I'm the lowest, I'm the most stupid, I'm the most ugly, and whatever. It's low self-esteem. Negative false ego means low self-esteem. But the Vaishnava has high self-esteem. Let's look at Prabhupada as an example. Prabhupada is the perfect example of the humble devotee. And what is his demeanor? He's always like this. Not like this. Like this. I'm proud to be a devotee of the Lord. He has high self-esteem that I am the Vaishnava, devotee of the Lord. That's real humility. Not low self-esteem, I'm lower than a worm in the stool. That's not humility. You know, Yudhisthira was so humble, but he's a warrior. The Kauravas, they're all warriors. And we have to be spiritual warriors also, because we're fighting Maya. And where is Maya? All around us. We're surrounded by Maya. Not only is Maya all around us, but Maya has even infiltrated into our mind. And we struggle with our mind. And Arjuna was struggling with his mind. That's the whole basis of Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna asked Arjuna to drive the chariot into the center of the battlefield so Arjuna could see both sides, then Arjuna saw on the other side his kinsmen, his teachers, his grandfather, his friends. And he was thinking, how can I fight them? How can I kill them? And he lost faith. He became a little covered over. And he said, I've lost all composure. I've forgotten everything. The Gandiva bow is slipping from my hand. I cannot do this. I cannot fight Krishna. He was overcome by doubt. Then Krishna had to preach to him. And then Arjuna came to his senses and said, yes, I have these doubts. Slay these demons of doubt, O Madhusudan. And so Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita and slays the demons of doubt. And Arjuna has many questions that he poses to Krishna, many points that he brings up. And Krishna answers them one by one to satisfy Arjuna. And then finally, at the very end of the Gita, the last few chapters, the last few shlokas, finally Krishna asks a question. And he says, so Arjuna, have you heard with rapt attention everything that I have explained to you? Are you now free from doubt and ready to act according to my instruction? And Arjuna says, yes. Now I have regained my composure. Please tell me what to do. I am ready to act according to your instructions. And Prabhupada explained that this is Bhagavad Gita. This is the meaning of Bhagavad Gita. To come to the same conclusion and have the same understanding as Arjuna. Prabhupada gave us a very interesting teaching, explanation. He said that there are so many different explanations of the Bhagavad Gita. People are writing so many commentaries and saying, this is the meaning of the Gita, this is the meaning of the Gita, this is the meaning of Kurukshetra battle, this is the meaning of the horses and the chariots, the five senses, and so many things. But Prabhupada said that it's a conversation between two people, Krishna and Arjuna. And Krishna asks Arjuna, have you understood what I have spoken to you? And Arjuna replies, yes, now you instruct me. That's the understanding that Arjuna had. That is the meaning of the Gita. To have the same understanding as Arjuna. But people 5,000 years later, in the modern age, they're writing commentaries on Gita, and they're trying to say, this is what Krishna meant 5,000 years ago. They weren't even there. But Arjuna, who was there, he said, yes, now I understood everything you've said. You instruct me. I am your eternal servant. That's Bhagavad Gita. So we have to come to that platform of Arjuna, that we understand and recognize our eternal position as Das, 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 Anudas, and we accept the instructions of the Lord, just as Prabhupada says here in the purport, the Vaishnavas are always obedient to the orders of the Lord. Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Surayo. So here in the verse, Sahi Sarva Suradyaksho, that the Supreme Lord is the Super Soul who is situated within the core of everyone's heart. It's the same as Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto. It's the same thing that Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita. But Vishnu, because he is the worship, being worshipped by the Vaishnavas, therefore the demons don't like that. So he's the enemy of the demons. Asura Dvid. Asura Dvid means that Vishnu is considered by all the demons to be their enemy. Now, of course, Vishnu's Ajatashatru. What is it? Right. He doesn't see anyone as an enemy. He sees everyone as a servitor. But Ajatashatru, yeah. But the demons see him as an enemy, though he doesn't see the demons as an enemy. So therefore they behave in such a way to try and destroy Vishnu by harming those who are dear to him. The Vaishnavas are the most dear to the Vishnu. So now the demons are going to harm the Vaishnavas to harm Vishnu. Just like a mother and father have a beautiful little child. The worst thing you can do to hurt the parents is to harm the child. No, no, leave him alone. Rather kill me, the parents will say, but leave the child alone. The greatest pain is to harm the child of the parents who they love so much. So the demons have this mentality, oh, the Lord loves the Vaishnavas so much, let's harm them. Let's kill them. Let's do demoniac atrocities to the Vaishnavas. And this way we will hurt Vishnu. So this is such a demoniac mentality. Because they're covered over by Krishna's Apohan Shakti. So we have to make sure that we are never covered over by Krishna's Apohan Shakti. That we're always in the bright sunshine of Krishna's Smriti Shakti, that we always remember who we are, what is our position, what is our activity, what is our eternal constitutional position, that we treat every living entity in the mood of Das, 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 Anudas. So, let me just repeat the verse one more time. Lord Vishnu, the super soul within the core of everyone's heart, is the ultimate enemy of the Asuras and is therefore known as Asura Dvit. He is the leader of all the demigods because all the demigods, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, exist under his protection. Because Lord Vishnu, he is maintaining everyone. Therefore, their being maintained means they're under his guidance and protection. The great saintly persons, sages, and Vaishnavas also depend upon him because he's the maintainer. You depend upon those who are maintaining you. Just like we're living in ISKCON, for those of us who are living in ISKCON, ISKCON's maintaining us. We depend upon ISKCON. If we go outside of ISKCON, then ISKCON doesn't maintain us anymore. We can't depend on ISKCON to maintain us if we're not in ISKCON. So the devotees, the Vaishnavas, they're always dependent upon the Lord because they're subordinate to the Lord. They're always surrendered to the Lord. Therefore, to persecute the Vaishnavas, the demons are thinking, is the only way to do that is to kill Vishnu, to harm Vishnu, to harm the Vaishnavas. This is how we'll be successful. Hare Krishna. So this is what's going on in the world today, especially in America, China, Russia. It's terrible. So the only hope is this Krishna consciousness movement. And the Krishna consciousness movement means every individual in the movement, because the movement is made up of individuals. So each and every one of us has to become the Das, 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 Anudas, and be the example to inspire millions of innocent people who are suffering to come and take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. We can't convince them, we can't coerce them, we can't push them to become devotees, but we can inspire them by our own behavior. Thank you very much. Okay, question.
Nandamara, I went with this whole village and they were being, you know, the atrocities of the demons. They went from one place to another. And sometimes we find ourselves, Prahlad Maharaj was having that faith that, you know, I'm being thrown off a mountain or I'm going to be boiled in oil. And Krishna did come and save him. But sometimes they have to make also intelligent decisions too, like if there's an epidemic going on, not that you go in the middle of the epidemic, well, Krishna will protect me, or I don't need to protect myself. So that sometimes we have to actually use common sense too, and that's protecting us as well, not just thinking blindly, Krishna will protect me no matter what situation I throw myself into.
Well, this is answered by Krishna in the verse 10:10. Dadami buddhi yogam tam, I will give you that intelligence. We have to follow that intelligence that Krishna gives us. So you gave the example of Gokul. By the time that Krishna, or Gopal, Govinda, was 5 years old, Nanda Maharaj called all the elders together and said, you know, there's too many demons here in Gokul. We can't live here. Let's move. So they all gathered together and they moved to Nandagram, which is on the top of a hill, so they could see that any demons were coming. So, yeah, Krishna gives us the intelligence to try to avoid situations that are negative, that will be harmful for us. So we have to use our intelligence. And this is the difference between Shraddha, when you have real faith, and blind faith. The blind faith person says, oh, I don't have to do anything, Krishna will take care of me. But that's not Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Shraddha understands, okay, I have faith the Lord will protect me, but I've got to do my part. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is asking Arjuna, you do your part and I'll do my part. Shloka after shloka, Krishna is saying, if you do your part, I'll do my part. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. You worship me with devotion, and I'll give you that intelligence that you can come to me. There's so many shlokas like that. Aham tvam sarva pape bhyo. First, mam ekam sharanam vraja. You surrender unto me, and I'll take away all your sinful reactions. You do your part, I'll do my part. So Krishna wants us to do our part, become Vaishnavas, to become devotees. Same with Arjuna. Arjuna said, I can't fight. Krishna says, don't worry, I'll take care of everything. No, he didn't. You do your part, and I'll do my part. You fight, and I'll make sure that we win. So this is a good point. We have to do our part. So this is real Shraddha. And forget the Andhavishwas, the blind faith, where I won't do my part and expect Krishna to do everything. This is terrible mentality. This is not service. So we have to do our part. We take the first step and Krishna reciprocates. And that's the meaning of reciprocation, and this is what Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. Ye yatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. As you approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. If you don't approach, no reciprocation. It's logical. Krishna's telling us in black and white what to do and how to do it. So let's follow. Let's study Prabhupada's books, then we'll understand. I hope that's clear.
Normally we say that this is Kali Yuga and lots of demonic activities is happening because this is Kali Yuga. But we see that in Satyayuga, Tretan, Gwata also there are many demons and demonic activities that also happen, and Krishna has to come different times in different
forms
to kill demons. How
do
you explain this?
Okay, thank you for your question. Because of the bell, I couldn't hear a word that you said. Someone repeat what the question is. No one else heard it either. Wait till the bell is finished. Okay. Okay.
Kali Yuga running and lots of demonic activities is happening.
Yeah.
But we see in the Shastra that demonic activities were happening before also in Tretha, Dwapara, Satyayuga, and Krishna has to come in different forms to kill demons. So how will you...
Okay, so the difference between Kali Yuga and Satya Yuga. So there's always going to be that demoniac mentality that doesn't want to surrender to the Supreme Lord. In any yuga, there's going to be some living entities that have that mentality. But in Satya Yuga, that mentality is the least amount of living entities have that mentality. Whereas in Kali Yuga, the maximum amount of living entities have that mentality. That's point one. Point two is that in Satya Yuga, the maximum amount of living entities have the Vaishnav mood of surrender. Whereas in Kali Yuga, the minimum amount of living entities have the Vaishnav mood of surrender. So everything is topsy-turvy in Kali Yuga and Satya Yuga. That's the difference. That's the main difference. But we want to bring a Satya Yuga atmosphere into our ISKCON society. That's what we want. That's what Prabhupada wants. And it's not so easy. I remember in 1975, when I was living in the Brahmacharya Ashram, Prabhupada had come in Los Angeles. Prabhupada came regularly to Los Angeles, so we had so much association, so many classes. And I remember one time, in one class, Prabhupada said, so, if you follow all my instructions that I have given you, they guarantee the end of this life, you go back home, back to Godhead. So in the Brahmacharya Ashram, we were all talking about it. Wow, this is far out. All we have to do is just continue, and we go back home, back to Godhead. Piece of cake. We were thinking it was so easy. Because after one or two years in the movement, it's not so difficult. But to maintain it year after year, decade after decade, is not so easy. So the challenges are coming. So we have to overcome the challenges, we have to overcome the obstacles. So that's... But in the beginning we think, oh, piece of cake, just follow the instructions. It's not so easy to follow the instructions because the mind is working against us. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. If there are any other questions, you can come up and speak to me personally. And now it's time for prasad, which is also part of the process of bhakti yoga, honoring Mahaprasad. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.